This is On the Media. I'm Bob Garfield.
And I'm Brooke Gladstone.
There are 8 million stories in the Naked City. This has been one of them.
The New York Times has just inaugurated its Sin and Vice beat in its Metro section. City editor Dean Chang told the New York Observer that he didn't come up with the beat as an excuse to run titillating stories in the New York Times. The idea was to cover things and places that wouldn't naturally have a voice in the Metro section. But what if the people doing things in those places prefer to be voiceless? That's the challenge facing newly minted Sin and Vice reporter Mosi Secret, an award-winning investigative reporter who's been covering the courts and social services for the paper for the last few years. Mosi, welcome to On the Media. And how'd you get that name?
Thank you. Secret's just been a family name for a long time. I just got lucky in the surname lottery.
So why did the gray lady go with Sin? Is she just throwing her hat into the clickbaiting ring?
People would like to think that the newspaper conceived this beat as a way to attract more readers, but it really was more organic than that. It will be a chance to get into places and find characters. In the end, even if this is behavior that people find undesirable, there will be a human element in there that people can connect with. We should kind of know what other people are like. And we want there to be some greater idea about what this says about New York. New York is a lot more expensive than it used to be, so the people who were kind of driving the scenes, doing weird and illicit stuff, they can't really afford to live here anymore. So the first story, what we saw is that the people who are doing this stuff are actually very affluent. And I suspect I will see more of that.
So then let's talk about your first story, which just came out a few weeks ago. It's basically about a brothel called the Bliss Bistro.
I was introduced to the place by a lawyer who I know who represents the guy who runs the brothel. My first visit there, I was in and out of the place. I didn't want like a woman to approach me and ask me if I wanted to do anything. I just wanted to kind of like see the place and get out of there. I saw women in barely any clothes and men kind of happy in that kind of drunk way.
They're mingling at a bar.
Yeah. It had kind of like a griminess to it. The furniture was very old. The place was dingy.
And yet the clientele seemed pretty well heeled to you.
Right. These businessmen, professional men for the most part, are in this pretty grimy place, which you would expect them not to be. The challenge was, what do you say to these people? I'm a reporter with the Times. I want you to tell me why you're here and what you're doing.
Have you started to work out a strategy?
I'm still figuring it out. I can say that I have been less successful since that story. Right now, I'm just trying to develop trust, let them know that I'm going to protect them, that they don't have to worry about getting in trouble because of anything that I've done, and just convince them that the things that they are doing, the life that they are living, is something that readers would be intrigued by and see if that appeals to them at all. That's what appealed to Tony, the first person who I wrote about.
Tony, the owner of Bliss Bistro, a young man who worked his way up from what he said was selling large quantities of heroin, something you noted but said in a pure Times speech, it couldn't be independently verified. Surely you and your editors know you're going to be told a lot of things that aren't going to be independently verified.
Right. Well, in this case, that's not what the story was about. The story was about this place that I saw. The meat of the story is something that we were able to verify.
Various fine points of people's biographies are not crucial.
If I'm doing a profile, then I think it is crucial. But people who live life in such a way that there are no documents and other things like that, then we kind of have to take it at their word and have those disclaimers.
I think one thinks of the Times as a very hidebound institution. I mean, calling Meatloaf Mr. Loaf is the ultimate example of that. Mm-hmm. Very positive reaction to the brothel piece?
There were certainly people who wrote in to the public editor saying that it was beneath Time standards, but they were not the majority of people who responded. Most people enjoyed the story.
It did go through the standards editor, though.
Yes. Yes. The standards editor is actually the person who suggested that we include that little disclaimer about Tony's biography.
Mm-hmm. So one down, the brothel piece. How is the beat going? Are you finding other things to write about?
I have a list of ideas, but I have had some trouble bringing the ideas to fruition. One reason is that people are much more hesitant than Tony was to tell their stories. They want to trade information in their stories either for money or some type of access or these kinds of things, which obviously as a reporter for the Times, I cannot do.
Could you give an example?
Yeah, I wanted to get into illegal poker rooms in the city, and I met someone who is a gambler and who also operates some of these rooms. And he said, yeah, I can help you get in there. You just have to pay me. You know, obviously I cannot pay him, but he didn't get it. He thought that I was almost playing hard to get. So we didn't get anywhere.
I have to talk to you about the name of your beat, Sin. Merriam-Webster calls it an offense against religious or moral law. Then I looked in the Urban Dictionary, and it defines sin as good, dirty fun. So it's hard to define the beat if you don't define sin.
Even though we are not using sin as a religious term, we have loosely used the seven deadly sins as a guide to things that we should look into.
Like extreme plastic surgery?
Yeah.
Is that vanity?
That is on my list.
Hot dog eating contest?
Yeah.
Is that gluttony?
We consider that, but it's just been written about so much. But but yes, that could fall within my area of coverage.
And greed, one might argue, fuels one of the principal sources of income in the city of New York.
That's right. That one I probably will write about less, only because there's been so much coverage of Wall Street guys who are greedy.
Sloth isn't very headline grabbing, is it?
No, that's actually a hard one. I don't know how I'm going to do anything on that. A lot of people have said, you know, I'm so envious of you. This sounds like an amazing assignment. And it is, but it's also pretty hard.
Do you think the Times may have created this beat, say, 40 years too late? Would it have been better in the 70s?
Yes.
Mosi, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Mosi's Secret covers sin and vice for the New York Times.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.